Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning together Mishlei Perek Ches, the 8th chapter in the book of Mishlei. And the topic of this perek is the speech of wisdom. Let's take a quick look at it. It is a longer perek and it is divided into a number of sections. The first three psukim are an introduction essentially, where he is calling out. He's saying, let wisdom call out. Let everybody hear what I have to say. From the highest peaks to the gates it should be announced and it should be sung. Everybody should hear what wisdom has to say. Well, what does wisdom have to say? So then we move to the next few psukim, Dalad to Yud Aleph, 4 to 11, in which he now describes how he talks directly to the audience, not generally, but he says to the audience and he begs them to listen. He says, Aleichem ishim ekra v'kol yel b'nei adam, my voice is to human beings. He asks the foolish to learn and pay attention. Havinu pesayim, O foolish ones, listen, Arma. And then he goes on and he promises to speak only straight and not like the crookedness of the Rasha, because he explains, he says, Ki emes yegechi ki v'tavas v'asai Rasha. I hate the crookedness of the falseness of the Rasha, of the lips of the Rasha. I'm going to speak only righteousness. I'm going to only speak truth. And he talks about the idea that please listen to me. Take heed of what I say and don't take heed of money. Apparently it seems to be the money in this perek is seen as the antithesis of the ability of amalgamating wisdom. If you follow money, it's very hard to be able to appreciate the more subtle things in life. Ki tova chachma mipninim v'kol chavotzim lo yishvu ba. He says that chachma is much better than precious gems. Nothing is worth wisdom. There's no value you can place on it which it can be bought for. He then turns, and this is to me the most profound part of this perek, is the section in which Chachma itself speaks. It's so remarkable. It's so beautiful. It's really worth reading every single pasuk, Psukim Yud Beis to Chof Aleph. And he basically starts as this. The voice now shifts. It's not the narrator turning to the audience of the greater world. He's not making the proclamations in the streets and the gates. It's Ani Chachma. I am wisdom. It's wisdom now speaking. It's a soliloquy. Shachanti armo v'das mizimoy semtza. And he talks about it. It's so beautiful. He says, goes on, wisdom starts speaking. He says, fear of God hates arrogance and duplicity of speech. And then he goes on to say, through me, meaning wisdom, kings reign, and through me, rulers find justice. He gives a few poetic expressions of this about judges and princes. What a profound pasuk he goes on to say. Ani oyhavai ehov. I love those who love me. Umeshacharai yimtsanuni. And those who seek me out will find me, meaning wisdom. He says, I have with my wisdom, I have riches. Toiv piriyimi charutz mipoz. My fruit is greater than anything of the gold to osimi kesef nivchor, even the greatest of silver. Because I will lead people in the right ways, in the ways of justice. My job is to give to those tzaddikim, yesh, which means acquire, acquisition, holdings, and I'll fill up their storehouses. Very powerful description over here. It goes on to describe, wisdom carries on speaking from Psukim Chof Beis to Lamed Aleph. This is now the fourth section, where wisdom describes its own hewing. Where does it come from? And it describes Hashem Kononi Reishis Darkoi Kedem Mifolov Me'oz. Hashem acquired me from the beginning, and describes how wisdom talks about before land came into existence, I was hallowed. Before the mountains and the valleys, I was there as he set the heavens in their place. I was there as he laid out the oceans. I was there with him and danced in front of him and was a source of delight. Wisdom is predating all the existence around us. And finally, the last section of this perek are the last three psukim, in which Lamed Beis, well, last four psukim, Lamed Beis to Lamed Vov, 32 to 36, in which he says, he turns to his children, and in the way that, in the tone we've seen up till now, and the rest of Mishlei, V'atov onim shimuli, now my sons listen to me. It sounds like this is no longer wisdom speaking. The father, the mother are talking to their children. Listen and take heed. Those who find me find life, and those who miss me destroy themselves. Those who miss me they destroy their own lives. Very powerful perek, very poetic, very descriptive about wisdom. A few basic questions. Number one, what does it mean that I love those who love me? That very beautiful pasuk that we saw earlier in Yud Zion. Ani ohavai ehov umeshacharai yimtso ununi. That those who search me out will find me. What is this referring to? The Me'a Shilach, the Ishbitz Rebbe, says a very profound idea here. He says that these two parts of the pasuk actually relate to two stages in Jewish history. The first is Pesach and the second is Shavuos. The beginning of a relationship requires love. It requires there be to be something romantic. There needs to be a desire, a passion. We want each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? If you love me, I will love you back. Even if you're in Egypt, even if you're so decrepit, even if you have no capacity to really make a relationship at this point in time because you're in servitude, you don't even have the cultural wherewithal to be able to become a nation yet. I will love you if you decide to love me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. But then, after that, you need to search me out. Meshacharai yimtso'ununi. That those who search me out will find me. Notice that there are two nuns in the word. He says, because those are the 50 days that one travels between Pesach and Shavuos. As a person searches out, not just now, the fact that they love Hashem enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make him into a nation and loves them back. But now, the question is, tachlis, are you in a religion just about love a Jew at heart? Were you actually doing something about it? What are you doing? Where does that turn into ritual? Where does that turn into normative action? That's the next stage. And that's the search out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, stage number two. Another question. What does it mean that Chochmah is more precious than jewels? That appears a number of times in this perek. One explanation the Ralbag says is very simple. If you have wisdom, you're going to invest well. If you don't have wisdom, you're going to squander your money and you're going to lose out. So get wisdom, it'll protect your assets. Very simple idea. That's what Ralbag says, rationalistically. However, the Vilna Gaon says there's another way to look at this, and that is, sometimes you say, well, if wisdom is so good, then why is it that so many great tzaddikim barely have two coins to rub together, barely have anything to put on their tables? How could it be that if we, such wise people, live such abject lives of poverty? And he says, because, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showering them with the real assets, and the real assets last much longer than the meal time. They last a lot longer than the play time. They last a lot longer than this lifetime. That's what's being told about over here. One last question over here in this section we're going to focus on is, what does it mean that Chochmah was there before the creation of heaven and earth? What exactly is Chochmah describing that it was there beforehand? So the most basic idea would be the idea that is referenced in the Ramban in his introduction to the Torah, which is Histakel ba'oraisa uvara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah as a blueprint and created the world from there, which means to say the idea Kutsha Bricha va'oraisa chadhu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kabbalistically and his wisdom, which is the Torah, is one. Therefore, that existed, that predates creation, and therefore all of creation is ultimately stemming out of that primordial energy. However, the Al-Sheikh says that it might even be a little more simpler than that, and that is that we know at the beginning of creation, Bereshis, the first name of Hashem that appears in the Torah is Elohim. Bereshis, Bara Elohim, Es HaShemayim Ves Haaretz. And you'll notice that later on you'll see Hashem Elohim, the name Shem Havaya, Yud Hei, and then Vav and a Hei. That indicates, as Chazal explained, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first wanted to create the world with strict judgment and realized that the world would not succeed in such a way because human beings are complex. Human beings need rachamim, which is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested in the world rachamim as well. What is being said over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started off the world. Yes, it was with Din, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishtatef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested and combined into it also the Midas HaRachamim, which is what is being talked about over here. Wisdom is also something which leads us to the Midas HaRachamim, which leads us to the space, the vacuum in existence which we can exist, which is with Midas HaRachamim. Finally, famous Pesukim, there's a very famous Pasuk, which is Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and that is L'Hanchil Ohava Yesh V'Otzraseim Amalei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide to those who love me Yesh. Yesh literally means have, abundance, and I'll fill up their storehouses. This pasuk is quoted in a number of Mishnayos, most notably at the last Mishnah in Uktzin, which is usually quoted when people are doing Siyum HaShas. And the Mishnah in Uktzin says, the very, very end, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Aser HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahanchil l'chol tzadik v'tzadik shalosh me'os v'asara olamos. That every tzadik is going to get 310 worlds, shenemar lahanchil avayesh v'atzosem amalei. Where does the number 310 arrive from in this Mishnah? The answer is the word yesh, which means has or have, can be also numerically explained as 310. 10 is the Yud, and the Shin is the 300. That's what's called Shai Olamos. That's the flipped round word of Yesh. What in the world does that mean? So there's a lot of deep Kabbalistic secrets over here. Just to reference a few ideas, just to appreciate how much more there is to learn. The Shloha Kodosh explains over here that if you take the word Yisrael, the name Yisrael, it's a composite of Yesh and Resh Lamed Aleph. That means to say the idea of Yesh, which is 310, and the idea of Resh Lamed Aleph, which is 231. He explains Kabbalistically that the Hebrew alphabet, the Chof Beis Osios, the 22 letters, which are essentially the metaphysical periodic table of elements through which the entire world is created, the apertures of existence through which, when mixed with each other, create new existence, like the compounds, so to speak, lahavdil, in the chemical world. When you mix H2SO4 and you create sulfuric acid, when you create the combinations of these letters, those are the basic elements in the metaphysical universe. So he says, well, it's interesting that all sounds are pronounced from five different parts in the mouth, in the palate, and they are called Rea Hayach, Bumaf, Datlanit, and Shazar, Shas, Zash, Ratz, and Gikak. Those are five different places in the mouth that the 22 letters of the alphabet are expressed, and they are encapsulated not only in 22 letters, but in the number Resh Lamed Aleph, which is 231, which means, what is Israel? What is Israel? Israel is not simply a state, it's not simply a secular name, it is the idea of the combination of Shai, which is 310 worlds, and Resh Lamed Aleph, which are the building blocks of reality, which are the Chof Beis Osios, the 22 letters of creation, the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, which form the basic metaphysical foundations for the rest of the world. A lot of Kabbalistic stuff there, just to appreciate how much more there is to learn when coming and when addressing these issues which are embedded in this pasuk. So we should always have a sense of humility when approaching and trying to understand the multiple layers of meaning as we unpack Mishlei together. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day. Mm-hmm.